Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Sam and Andy here, as always.
Hey everybody.
Today we got we have a contemporary classic episode in my mind, I think.
I think so.
Today we're going to be discussing and reviewing 2003's Lost in Translation, directed by Sofia Coppola, starring, of course, Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie a lot, and you have too, Sam, but yeah. For those of you who haven't seen it, maybe Sam can give you guys the rundown of essentially what is a simple story,
yeah,
but a very... It's told in a great way.
Yeah, it's very effortless, I think.
Right.
Basically, Bill Murray is... it kind of leads you to believe he's an actor or something. Bill Murray seems to be playing himself, kind of.
Sort of like a... Kind of almost like a... kind of almost washed out.
Yeah.
Maybe... you know, past his prime a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And he's in Japan, and I guess he's there to promote Suntory whiskey. It's
yes.
Whiskey, right?
It's whiskey.
Yeah. He's there to promote Suntory whiskey, and he's just staying at a hotel. Mm-hmm. And he meets Scarlett Johansson, who is the wife of a photographer who is just working in Japan. He has like a little stint in Japan.
Right.
And they meet each other because they're at the same hotel. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about them, and like they kind of become friends, and you know, go through some hijinks, some fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's an interesting story in the fact that I think Scarlett Johansson's character and Bill Murray's character, even though they're basically, I'd say, at least 20 years apart.
Yeah.
Like you're talking generations apart here, but they're basically going kind of through the same. They're in the same emotional place, I would say.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Which makes it an interesting watch because, you know, they find each other and they kind of like live life in a very cool way, you know, experience different things.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a very, I think Bill Murray has a, does he have a wife and family at
home?
Yeah,
Bill Murray has a wife and family at home in America. And mm-hmm. like at one point,
he's on his wife, phone conversation.
Yeah, right? His wife actually calls him about like some kind of upholstery thing in his den.
Yeah.
He's just like overwhelmed, but he's just like, you know, kind of almost jaded, stereotypical past middle-aged dad.
Yeah.
Like a little past middle age.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
And I'm just like watching as someone who's kind of like, who's been to Japan a lot. I consider myself as someone who's been to Japan a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only every other year.
Yeah.
For a summer. You know, it's kind of fun to watch these things because in Japan, you have a lot of these people. It's kind of like a little like stock of actors from America who, you know, they're not, I don't know if they're iconic to the Japanese people so much. They're known for being like, you know,
always around
in different commercials. Right. So,
yeah. Cause like actors like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who are super, you know, popular movie stars here, will go and do like ads for McDonald's or you know,
something like that.
Something kind of silly in Japan.
And get paid buku bucks. Like James Coburn was on the billboards for Japanese cigarettes for a long time before he died. And then Tommy Lee Jones, I was in Japan, you know, what was it, 2 summers ago? And he's still, actually, I was watching Japanese television with him doing ads in the programming, you know, this Christmas.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, like being a goofy English teacher in Japan and selling basically canned coffee.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where if you've seen any of these Japanese ads on YouTube or in Japan, you kind of get what Bill Murray's going through as far as like he gets flown over to Japan to do a Suntory whiskey ad.
Yeah.
And it's basically like
he's there for like
30 seconds when they just say make a Suntory time or something like that.
For good times. Make it Suntory time.
And then that part gets kind of, they get done with it pretty soon, and then he meets Scarlett Johansson, and then things start happening.
Yeah. They build kind of like a, they're a little flirty, but like you could tell that it's more of a friendship, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they decide because, you know, they're kind of like, it's almost like they're both kind of loners, just because, you know, Bill Murray's, in the story is like a mm-hmm. famous star too. He doesn't really need to know any of these like regular people, you know?
Right.
And Scarlett Johansson is just kind of like by herself because her husband is always, you know, out mm-hmm. doing photo shoots. So she's by herself, like listening to, you know, what was it? Like the motivational CDs and stuff. And
yeah. Yeah. You see like
things like that.
Yeah. And her pink underwear.
Yeah.
I really like Scarlett Johansson in this movie because this is really kind of like before she got super popular.
Yes.
And you're gonna, she's still kind of, she's definitely younger, obviously, but it's yeah. almost like she's super fresh in this movie.
Yeah, like, yeah, like she doesn't have like that big movie star attitude. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that she does now, but I'm saying like, you know, you don't know her for that kind of role.
Well, yeah, and she's not like super duper, she's not wearing, she looks kind of, she's a pretty girl in this movie, but she's not like your gorgeous.
Yeah,
she's not the Hollywood
actually,
actress.
Yeah, that's something I really like about the movie. Yeah. Everybody looks like regular people.
No one
looks like, you know, unreal. It's not like Kevin James and Here Comes the Boom with Salma Hayek, who looks amazing as a school teacher. Yeah, yeah. Someone's going to believe that.
Yeah,
someone's
going
to believe Salma Hayek as a school teacher.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Interesting tidbit. My mom went to high school in Japan, and one of the schoolmates there that was in, like, her class or maybe a class above or below, I don't know what, but he was a one of Bill Murray's stand-ins.
Oh, cool.
For filming. Yeah.
That's cool.
So, like, I think it's like when you see the back of Bill Murray, it's not him. It's that, it's one of the schoolmates that my mom knows. Because awesome. He was like, they're looking for a white guy who's like relatively the same height.
Yeah.
And just slap a wig on it for the back of his head. And then,
yeah, when he's sitting in the chair for the Centauri ad.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it's the golf scene. Where, you know, it's just that one shot where he walks up and hits a ball. Yeah. I don't know if he's that guy, but I know he's in the movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, as Bill Murray's back. So that's pretty awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. But yeah. I guess before we get, I think everyone can tell that we kind of like the movie.
Yeah.
And it's very popular. It was kind of like an indie movie.
Yeah, especially if you went to high school around the time that, you know, Andy and I went to high school. You know, class of 07, 06, things like that. Like, you've probably seen this movie, I'm assuming.
I would hope so. But yeah. Everyone in my high school didn't like, they're like, dude, I can't wait for the next, you know, X-Men movie to come out.
I mean, that's fine. But no, I mean, like, it was just really popular. Yeah, it's been popular since then.
I saw this in the theaters at the Angelica in Houston, which is the Angelica No More. It is the Sundance Theater now.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. Angelica, sadly, left town, but Sundance picked up the same facility, so we still got kind of like a nice,
that's cool,
a more, it's, you know, we get movies down there in downtown by the theater district, so
I saw this at a friend's house. That was the first time I saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
How long ago was that?
Probably like the summer of junior year in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like heard of it before and I wanted to see it, but you know, I didn't have a way to get it, so
cool.
But I think it's just the movie for that generation, or that guy, our generation.
Yeah, I'd say so. And I guess we can just go right into, in general, what you liked and favorite scenes.
Okay. I guess I'll go first.
Yeah, yeah.
In general, what I liked is I really like the way that the movie's shot throughout. I don't think we mentioned it before, but the movie's budget was about $4 million.
Yeah,
and it grossed like $44 million. So that's a good turnaround for Sofia Coppola. I think this was her first movie, her first like feature length debut movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think it's her first feature film.
Yeah, yeah.
Did she write it?
No, that's not true at all. The Virgin Suicides was her first. Was her first feature length.
Which
and that starred Kirsten Dunst. Yeah,
which I've never seen that movie.
I haven't either,
but everyone talks about it.
Yeah, I've never seen that, but
yeah,
my bad. Lost in Translation was her second feature length movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a great movie just for someone's second film. Like, there's a lot of kind of it showed experience, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw the movie right after that was Marie Antoinette, right, with Kirsten Dunst again.
Yeah, I heard that wasn't good though.
I actually liked it.
I haven't seen it. I just heard it was really bad.
I don't know. I don't think it was super duper bad, but you know,
people made it seem
it's
super
a different
duper
type
bad.
Of what did IMDb give it?
I don't know. I just remember like. I was watching Ebert and Roper, and they're like, this movie totally sucked. And I was like, okay.
See, and it's got like a 6.4.
But see, that's not that bad.
Oh, I guess it. I didn't mind it so much in the fact that.
I mean, they made it seem like it was a horrible movie.
It wasn't
like
super
Krayshawn's bad. Like new album.
And Jason Schwartzman was in that one. But I like that movie okay in the fact that. But if you watch that and you watch Lost in Translation, I think you can appreciate how different the movies can be and that she can kind of go. She almost like. she totally switched gears from Lost in Translation to Marie Antoinette. But after I watched Marie Antoinette, I kind of appreciated Lost in Translation more. Even more.
I kind of had that with Somewhere, which is Sofia Coppola's 2010 movie about like the father-daughter relationship and a bunch of hotels, because I guess she doesn't know how to film outside of a hotel.
Well, I think it's I think part of it is like that, right? And then the other thing is like you follow this thing with Marie Antoinette, and then you go and watch whatever you're talking about Somewhere, and it's like she's been listening to The Strokes for like the last 5 years.
Yeah,
it's kind of annoying.
No other music has really come out.
Well, I mean, you should think she would be repping her hubby's music, the guy from Phoenix.
I don't know. She was.
They're partners. They're not hubbies, but I think they have a kid together too. I don't know if this is a kid, but I know they're definitely partners.
Oh, okay.
Partners in crime.
Phoenix Amadeus Mozart should have dropped some tracks on.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I guess I didn't really like Somewhere that much. It was not as good as Lost in Translation. Although, I think unlike Marie Antoinette, it tried to capture the kind of Lost in Translation feel.
Okay.
With the beginning, because it's, a main character who is male, who's just by himself, kind of like floating around.
Right.
Which is sort of what Bill Murray's like in Lost in Translation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I guess I'd have to watch it to talk about.
Well.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think the movie, I think Lost in Translation is so awesome just because there's a lot of other stuff that happens other than just Bill Murray being jaded and floating around.
Yeah, I don't even know.
That's only like the first like 15, 16 minutes of the movie. Because then you see.
He starts opening up.
Yeah.
And I like, that's the thing, like Marie Antoinette, it's just so different.
Yeah.
And this thing is so awesome that I think maybe she's like, I'm never going to get top that kind of area filmmaker.
Yeah.
So she's just going to go off and do whatever.
Okay. Maybe that's what it was. But back to Lost in Translation. I just really like how it was shot for a second, big movie film with not a big budget.
Right.
I like the dialogue a lot because it seemed pretty normal and believable. Nothing too hokey. And I really like, I think the thing that kind of like makes the movie so popular is just like the chemistry between Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson. Because it's completely believable and like they're just, two people, hanging out.
Right.
So, yeah. I really like that. Favorite scene is probably I might have to think about that. I'm gonna let you do your
I was just thinking about my favorite scene. Yeah. I was like, shit, I gotta think of one fast.
Yeah.
In general, I remember watching this movie and thinking that everything that she was shooting was just so right. It wasn't like, I don't know if you've seen many, like, it's not like a Three Ninjas depiction of Japan or like a Mr. Baseball depiction of Japan. The only thing that I think I've seen, like, something that captures, like, the Japanese essence.
Is it Babel?
Babel, yeah, with the deaf girl. I think that was pretty solid. But up until that point, I think that watching this movie is like they got everything about Japan right and got everything about like the clash of like what a Western guy is looking at. But it's not like a look at all these crazy Japanese people. It's always like, oh, look at how different it is, but also look at how you could see it to be normal in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
In general, pacing was good. I was never bored watching it the first or second time.
Yeah, I think I've watched this. It's a really good movie you can just like keep rewatching every couple of years or months or something like that.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, I'd give it a shot. Just the scene. This movie has lots of montages. I was thinking about
that. They have a lot of fun montages. A lot of good scenery too.
There's stuff. Yeah, it's filmed in a very nice way.
Yeah, lots of vibrant stuff. Movies.
Yeah, it's mainly a nighttime movie. I would say though.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, because there's only I think it's just the
golf shot part, in the daytime.
Yeah, the one part in the beginning with Scarlett Johansson's just like hanging out by herself. They meet
in the bed.
When they meet. Geez, what's her name? The actress. The photographer's friend, who is a famous actress. Anna Faris. When they meet Anna Faris.
Oh, yeah. I really liked her
character.
Yeah.
She's so goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they meet Anna Faris. That part is in the daytime. And then apart from that, I think it's all nighttime up until the very end of the movie.
Yeah. Which is it's a lot to be said. That's definitely contrasting from Marie Antoinette, where everything was like vibrant and basically lush. This is more of like an urban jungle, but a very fun urban type of setting at nighttime.
And somewhere it's mostly daytime, except when they're in buildings, which it seems to be always nighttime.
Exactly.
When they're in buildings.
Exactly. So I would say that that was, Everything about it, the film shot, it was shot very nicely.
Yeah.
But in general, I don't think I could say anything terribly bad about this movie. Yeah. But
what was your favorite
scene?
You want to do my favorite scene? I thought of one.
Okay, say it, because I'm still thinking of mine. There's so many, god damn it.
Yeah, yeah, there's just a lot of stuff I really like. Yeah. Too. I think my favorite scene would be the one where Scarlett Johansson, I guess it's kind of like toward the earlier part of the movie, kind of near the middle, mm-hmm. where I guess she's told to go like to this Japanese, she goes to a temple.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she just walks around the temple and she sees, I think, a couple that's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're getting married or, you know, some kind of cool ceremony is happening. I just like that part because it seemed, you know, kind of quirky and interesting, but like really restrained. Like it wasn't hitting you over the head like, hey, this is Japan culture, guys.
Right. You know, she's just kind of like watching from.
Yeah, she's just kind of like, you know, observing.
For sure.
Yeah. And yeah, I just really like that scene a lot.
I'm trying to think of scenes that I liked that were like longer than 5 seconds. So you could think about like, you could say my favorite scene is when they're doing karaoke and singing Elvis Costello, but that's literally like 15, 20 that's seconds.
It moves fast.
Yeah, the montage
is. It feels kind of long. It's like a Beatles record.
Oh, yeah. I was going to, that's very aptly put. maybe I would say when he's on the TV show.
Yeah.
The variety show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a great one. And when I found out she didn't tell him what was in the box before they started shooting.
Oh, she didn't tell him?
No.
That's awesome.
So the reaction you get from him is real. And that host is actually a celebrity.
Celebrity, right?
And the thing about Japan is like, oh, those guys who you see, and they're like, he's definitely like a fan favorite at the time when they shot.
Yeah.
Now he's like, you know.
Did he get in trouble or something?
C-class. No, it's just like everyone in Japan, if you're not an actor or an actress, like if you're emceeing a show or something, your shelf life is very short in general.
Okay, I see.
Yeah,
I
see. So like now he's still there every once in a while, and he still has his blonde hair, but he's not like the crazy Matthew guy who was.
Oh, okay. So they don't have a Bob Barker who's on there for
exactly. It's not like that. Okay. You have some very few old guy MCs that have been around forever, but yeah, he was popular back then, and you see him a little bit. Now, he might have his own show, but that was kind of like a smaller show before he got like super big, I think.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's cool.
And the thing about like late night television is like that late night show, I bet it was like 1:30, 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because their television programming starts, their prime time is really fucking late in Japan, and I don't know why.
Is it late like 11 o'clock or is it late like.
Well, let's say like your CSI comes on at what, 7 o'clock here?
Yeah.
Well, everyone would be like, you ready to watch CSI? Starts at 10:30.
Okay.
And then your comedy shows follow that at like 3 in the morning.
Well, do they wake up early or something?
No, they wake up later.
Do they wake up later?
Later, I would think, and I think they were kind of up on the ball about like digital recording.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the TiVo shit before us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, typical Sony.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Owning us again.
Always.
Yeah.
But then again, most shows in Japan are weekly, so they're not like not day to day. But this guy, yeah. So I really like that scene a lot when he's doing it, because that's kind of like a Japanese game show.
And that's a really like fun, memorable scene. I mean, that just reminded me like all the stuff with Charlie.
Getting
shot with those like toy guns and stuff.
Yeah.
That's really fun too.
You know, and it's really fun to watch. And I think that her stuff right there kind of made things like Babel possible in the end. Like how to go about shooting Japan.
Oh yeah.
Or shooting.
How to make it like familiar.
Right.
And like welcoming to American audiences and other audiences. Yeah.
Because when you think about it now I think after that movie, it's always like some sort of like not sort of an ominous shot, but you'll take they'll shoot and then they'll be like, and look at the grand scope of the city at nighttime.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at it lit up. And I think that's a lot of it is derived from that movie.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Especially
at least
think
when
of like
shooting
Inception or Babel.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, especially when shooting those kinds of like set the tone.
Exactly.
Shots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 But I think it was a good movie. Bad things.
Bad things.
I'm gonna say I'll go first and just say the pacing for some people.
Yeah.
Well, how long is the movie, my man?
I think it's. Oh shit. I don't think it's over 2 hours. I think it's just, it's an hour and 30 minutes. Hour and 31 minutes.
You would think, I think it kind of gets off to, it gets to a good, Bill Murray scenes are always good.
Yeah. Leave your dress.
Right.
Leave my dress.
Yeah. lit my stocking.
Yeah.
That's a, it's a really good scene. It starts off with that. Yeah. And I really liked all of his scenes. Scarlett Johansson was great. I guess it's like people might be watching at the beginning, like when stuff gonna actually start.
Yes.
But
I could see that maybe. Because it's just them, like, you know, messing around when they introduce the people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a, I don't know, I feel like when you're watching it, that might be kind of like, you're going to have to sit through it, especially if you're not used to these types of movies.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think it's like an artsy-fartsy movie where you're going to be like, oh my gosh, it's so hard to watch. It's almost like...
Yeah, it's not really abstract at all. It's very easy to follow a story.
In fact, I think that's what can be said about Marie Antoinette or something. You're just watching a story. Yeah,
except
just watching
that Somewhere none of it is meaningful, so you wish you hadn't watched it.
Yeah, yeah. With this one, I think it's just like you're watching it.
It's cool.
I don't want to say it's a slice of life because it's not like you're ever... It's not like they're living their everyday lives at all. It's more of like we're meeting... It's kind of like I've had a friend... I have a friend who's two generations younger than me.
Yeah.
And
we're going to go...
We're gonna go. It's possible to find a relationship like that with like a 20-year gap.
Yeah,
and we're gonna live, you know, and do stuff like friends would do, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's very interesting, and you might call it a midlife crisis for Bill Murray.
Maybe a little bit.
And then if you think about, or like, essentially, it seems like he's at a point in life where it's like no one really gets me or understands me, and then she's doing the same thing.
She has like a turning point where it's like, hey, do I really want to be with this photographer?
Right,
dude?
Right. You know? And then it's kind of like during the course of this, the time in Japan, they kind of realize that, you know, there are people out there just like them.
Yeah. Right?
So bad things. I don't even know what I can say generally other than I can only speak for like maybe the general viewing audience. Yeah.
I agree. I could kind of see that.
You can't watch Transformers and go to this and be like,
probably not.
Right, false.
Although maybe with the amount of shots and
oh yeah,
you know, constant stimulation. No,
constant stimulation. Yeah. I need that.
Yeah, thanks, Scarlett.
Yeah,
I think my complaint with the movie, it's kind of a weirder complaint. It's more particular. Basically, toward the end of the movie, Bill Murray does something kind of annoying or dumb, lame, I guess, that upsets Scarlett Johansson. And I wish there was like a bit of a longer resolution to that. Or like
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
because they make up, you know, like normal. But it's just kind of, it seems a little abrupt with respect to how the rest of the movie is kind of paced.
Right. And I took that as something where it's like... It's more like giving them the benefit of the doubt. Because it's like you could cop out and be like, well, they just get it.
Yeah.
And they don't need to move. They don't have to dwell on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I just would have liked to see like a little bit more, maybe a couple more lines of dialogue or something.
Right.
But no, that's what I mean. Like, it's hard to find something that's super, you know, faulty with the movie. But, you want to do the 10-point scale?
10-point, yeah. I would say when I watched this, God, I saw this in 2003.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
If it came out in 2003.
9 years.
9 years, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so probably, you know, give or take.
Yeah, dude. So if this was like...
This came out in October 2003, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I was still...
Years. Almost 9 years.
So I was still like 14 or something like 14, 15.
Nubile.
Oh, yeah. I watched this a long time ago. I saw this in the theaters, right? Probably when I was when I was a freshman or ninth grade.
Yeah.
Ooh la la. I'd give it. When I watched it, I thought it was great. When I watched it, I thought I would definitely give that a 9. Just because I watched it in the theaters, like, why can't all movies be like this?
Yeah.
And you feel a lot of emotions when you're watching it. Nothing like,
yeah,
like, you know, oh, you're dying here. Like, you're so emotional.
Yeah, it's not over the top.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a solid 8.
Yeah.
On a good day, I would give it an 8.5. But I'll give it an 8. Just because now that I've seen so many more movies.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, your tastes change over time. And,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Things get cooler. Things get less cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would, you know, I would actually say, I know you like Garden State a lot.
Yeah, I like Garden State.
We're talking about movies where it's like,
I feel like Garden State aged a lot less well than,
I was gonna say something like that too. Yeah. But you know, you're talking about movies where it's like, if you're in from like our little high school area, if you're that age, or you've probably seen it,
Yeah.
I know a lot of kids that seen Garden State.
Yeah, me right? too.
And so
it was like Garden State, you know, Lost in Translation. I know Donnie Darko was super popular.
Never saw that.
Requiem for a Dream was super popular, although very different in tone.
Yeah, I would say that if you're compared to like a Garden State, I would say this is an infinitely better movie.
Yeah.
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 But
Zach Braff isn't that good of a director.
Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But like when you watch it when you're that young, you probably thought it was good.
You probably thought it was the coolest shit ever.
Right. And then when you watch Lost in Translation again and watch Garden State again, you'll regret watching Garden State again. But if you watch
No, it's not that bad.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like what you're saying, when you're rewatching this movie, you always can get maybe something out of it, maybe a different take on things.
Well, cuz I think the thing with Lost in Translation, because you know, there's Bill Murray and then there's Scarlett Johansson. It speaks well to both stages of life.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like adults can always watch this and be like, oh yeah, I totally get what Bill Murray's going through. Right. You know, work kind of sucks. People are like floating away from me. I don't really have that many friends. Whereas Scarlett Johansson's just like, I'm young and I don't know that many things. I'm inexperienced, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think for that reason, it ages better as people get older too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would give it an 8. Bill Murray. This was Bill Murray's, like, second coming.
Yeah.
You know?
Because like after he did this, he did, like, Broken Flowers.
Broken Flowers is a good movie. Yeah, it's, like, his return to, like, actual, like, a serious actor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where, I mean, he plays himself, and to some extent, you see him play this character a lot more.
See every Wes Anderson movie?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Right? Well, especially except for Moonrise Kingdom.
I haven't seen Moonrise
Kingdom. Which we'll be watching soon.
Hopefully soon, yeah.
Yeah. This weekend, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd give it an 8. No more, no less. Maybe lean towards an 8.5 on a good day, but I would definitely recommend it if you haven't seen it. Watch it. Is it on Netflix?
I think it is, yeah.
It's probably on Netflix, so I would say check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, like, the first time I saw this was, I guess, the summer after sophomore year, and I really, really liked this movie. Like, then if you asked me, I'd just be like, straight up 10.
Okay.
But I also rate a little bit more extremely, in a more extreme manner.
Yeah, man. Well, no, I wouldn't. I don't know if extreme. If you like something, you really like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really liked the movie when it came out. And it's one of the movies that I watch like one or two times a year because I always know what to expect. And it's always just kind of fun to see all this stuff happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like you have that movie and I have The Muppets Christmas Carol with Michael Caine.
What?
Yeah, man. Great fucking Christmas Carol movie.
I have not seen that.
What?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that, man. I'll have to check it out.
Michael Caine is Scrooge and Kermit.
I kind of love The Muppets, and that sounds pretty awesome. Yeah, I want to hear Michael Caine's Kermit.
And Michael Caine singing. Michael Caine.
He talks like this.
Talks like this.
Gets quieter.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Have you seen the newer Muppets movie? The one with Jason Segel?
I think that's on our docket, isn't it? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it either.
We should have gone to see it. I don't know what we're thinking.
We were thinking something different.
Yeah.
Probably
about
finals, because it came out around finals.
That's true. It was like, yeah. Well, it was like a Christmas time thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Lost in Translation, I really, really liked when I first saw it.
Good. We agree on that.
It a 10.
Yes.
Now, you know, again, after seeing more movies and seeing how, you know, Sofia Coppola hasn't really gotten better.
Yeah,
since.
I think I dropped her a point just because I watched.
Yeah,
Marie Antoinette.
That's
wasn't a bad Marie Antoinette isn't a bad movie, but it's kind of like you almost wonder if Lost in Translation was a fluke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically where I'm at, too, because like I watched somewhere and it was very disappointing in the sense that, you know, one, this was supposed to be kind of a big deal, kind of return to her, you know, her style of movie with, you know, The Virgin Suicides,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lost in Translation. She didn't really live up to that. And two, like I thought that, you know, it was going to be just a lot more entertaining than it was. Literally, it's like nothing happens in that movie. And so because it was not, you know, executed really in an interesting manner, it kind of, yeah, I had the same kind of feeling. Like maybe Lost in Translation was just her getting super lucky.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, something else led her to choose those particular shots. And the music in Lost in Translation is really good, too.
It's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a really good soundtrack.
I couldn't say great more times.
it's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's up there with, you know, A Single Man or
Yeah, fucking A Single Man's on the yeah, docket,
Tom
too.
Ford, you're fucking amazing.
Yeah, this is the second Tom Ford shout-out.
Yeah, shout-outs to Tom Ford.
Woo! My sister wears glasses that you designed. Yeah. She loves them.
Yeah. Your cologne smells pretty awesome, bruh. Cologne smells pretty awesome.
I can't imagine what he smells like.
I want him to smell like baby powder. Yeah. Something totally plain.
Rusty's what's Rusty's new obsession? The cream made out of
the baby foreskin thing.
Yeah. Shout outs to Rusty.
Yeah, shout outs to Russell.
Yeah.
But no, I would say now I would probably give it a solid 9.
Awesome. 'Cause
it's a really great movie. Just because, like, you know, it's really chill. Mm-hmm. It's not too intense or, like, even though there's a lot of stuff that happens, right. It's not like, bam, bam. Like, if you miss things, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So, like, you can get away with not paying total attention to it.
Uh-huh.
But if you do pay attention to it, it's really, like, a rewarding experience.
I'd say so.
Yeah, the shots are really good. The music selection is excellent. Dialogue is solid. Everything is paced really well, except for me, just that one part at the end.
Yeah.
Toward the end. But... yeah, I would definitely give it a solid 9.
Yeah, that's a justified rating, my friend, because it is a good movie.
And yeah, so that, I mean, for me, like, if you can catch it on Netflix or Blu-ray, or I know they play it a lot on IFC.
That's I think it's an IFC film.
Yeah,
is
yeah
it that's not?
It might. Well, it's a Focus feature. So yeah, they have a thing with IFC, I think. Yeah, I mean, like, that's how I found out that this was like my cat's favorite movie, because she sat and watched the entire thing. Yeah, definitely a watch if you have the time, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And are in the mood for kind of like a fun, chill movie.
Yeah. Everything, you know, and things, you know, Bill Murray had his like second or third career bump, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even know. And
Scarlett Johansson. Can't stop him. Can't stop.
Right?
Won't stop.
She got launched into the stratosphere, and I think it's partly because she
did so well.
Yeah, and had sex with Benicio Del Toro in an elevator.
What?
Yeah, something like that. That's what happened, like, at an award show.
I had no idea.
Afterwards, they're in, like, the same hotel room, apparently.
Great job.
Going up? I don't know. I think I'm going down.
Great.
That was Scarlett Johansson, not Benicio del Toro.
Yeah. Her voice is different from the movie.
Yeah.
They had to do, like, a vocal, like, a dub over the kind of the way they did Bane, but the opposite effect.
Opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
dude, great. I'd say it's a great movie.
Yeah, and I would agree with what you said at the beginning about it being kind of like a contemporary classic.
Yeah, I would say so. I know if you haven't seen it, people, you know, now it seems kind of just like almost when you hear it from someone, be like Lost in Translation, like, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it might be, if you haven't watched
it, you
should.
Yeah, I think
a lot of
people might have that reaction if you, you know, have you seen it? You know, because like.
If you like movies, you've already seen this movie.
Yeah, you've already seen it probably.
And if you don't like Bill Murray, you should watch this one.
Yeah, really don't watch this if you don't like Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. If you don't like Bill Murray, stop listening. Go away.
It's one of those things where it's like he's not doing a Bill Murray act though. Which is
No. He's not. Yeah, he's not being like a caricature of himself.
Yeah, it's not like Zombieland.
I have not seen Zombieland.
Oh, yeah. Bill Murray makes an appearance in Zombieland.
I remember you telling me about this.
Yeah.
And that it was like a super funny part.
It was a really funny part.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. But yeah, thanks as always for listening to us, you guys. We really appreciate your questions, comments. You know, give us a rating or a thumbs up or whatever iTunes allows you to do.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.